providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
What about that for the top of the hour news for this Friday? It's pretty interesting in my opinion. I want to say one thing, and that is I want to admit that I did get the booster. I got it because I was under the impression, the false impression, that it really wasn't going to cost me any money, and I didn't really care one way or the other. And Jim has done some research on the second booster, and he's basically saying it looks like there are a lot of faults with it. Jim, you got the mic.
So what's happening now is a lot of information is beginning to come out on the boosters and overall on the vaccines, and it doesn't look good for the CDC or the FDA. So Columbia University and Bethel Israel Deaconess Medical Center, they've both have pre-published studies that are out for peer review right now showing that the boosters have no meaningful improvement over the original shots, or they certainly don't have any significant improvement against the BA5 or the Omicron variants.
So, in other words, I wasted my time.
Right. Although there's more information, it's not just wasting your time. There's more information coming out that, in fact, the vaccinations and the boosters over time, when they diminish in effectiveness, they also potentially undermine your immune system, which requires another booster, a continuation of boosters. So that's some, there's some reporting and some studies that are out there looking at that. National Institute of Health of in the UK has some information on that. I think a few other European countries and Israel have information on that. So we know now from Pfizer executives themselves that the boosters were never tested against transmission. So we know they may have limited, if any, impact on the ability to transmit. We know that you can get the vaccinations and the boosters and still get COVID.
Yeah, we do know that.
That's factual. There's no question. And potentially the negative effects are way more significant than any other vaccine that's been put out on the market in the past.
Let's talk about the negative aspects, Jimmy.
Yeah, so we know that myocarditis and pericarditis for young males is much more prevalent based on the vaccinations, and that's been by cardiologists around the world identifying that problem. Some of these syndromes, I can't remember the exact names, but some of these syndromes that actually affect the neurological processes in your ability to move. For some people, we know the blood clotting has had a significant problem, and we know that there's been like well over 1.5 million adverse reactions reported in the CDC's VIRS system, their vaccine, you know, the system that they've designed in order to actually record adverse reactions. So those numbers are staggeringly higher than any other vaccine in history.
Yeah.
And we've shut down, the FDA and the CDC have shut down vaccination programs, in particular the one in the mid-70s over the swine flu, for much, much less negative reaction, even on a per capita basis. There were about 60 million people that got the vaccinations in the mid-70s for swine flu. There were, scores of deaths and a handful of neurological syndromes, and they, I think it was even less than 1,000 overall, and they shut it down. Now we've got numbers way beyond that, that are, and they're continuing to push these vaccines. And here's the really disturbing information that is becoming clear in Freedom of Information Act requests, FOIA requests from people like a whole host of different organizations that have been asking for Freedom of Information requests on CDC and on the discussions with the FDA. And it appears there are emails that show that the CDC was pressuring the FDA to approve the boosters without actually having any human trials.
Why would the Center for Disease Control take that action? That makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, it does if you're looking at a political narrative where you want to continue to get people to get vaccinated, and that pressure is coming from influential pharmaceutical companies and members of the CDC advisory boards or the FDA advisory boards that are actually have financial interests with these pharmaceuticals companies. So it makes sense that way. It also makes sense that they want to double down and not look like they are incompetent, especially as they're rolling out new vaccines. Because, in fact, once they admit there's a problem, then they look from the back end of it that they were lying from the beginning. Now, if you continue lying and it comes out, it's only going to be worse.
Yeah.
I think the problem is the entire system has been so jury-rigged and influenced by different political agendas and financial agendas that it's been very hard for honest people to come out and say, hey, we need to hold up on these issues. Because you were immediately attacked in the press, you were immediately attacked in social media, and you could be fired in some of these organizations by coming out and saying, hey, wait, we need to slow down here. And that was under tremendous pressure, I think, from political entities and the administration.
Jimmy, let me ask you a question that may seem a little bit out of place, but I don't think it is. I think it's very much in front and center here. Yesterday, Thursday, Facebook took a plummet in the price of the stock. They plummeted basically for the entire trading session. Do you think that has anything to do with what you're talking about right now?
Well, I think
a lot... Do you think
people
are starting to realize how bad social media can be?
I do believe that some of the investors are looking at this and saying, oh my gosh, when this stuff all comes out, who is influencing, shaping the political narrative,
right,
shaping the COVID narrative, that, you know, people are going to be very angry. The more facts that are out that in fact there were lies and influence, people are going to be incredibly angry.
But is anybody willing to publish those facts?
Well, they're coming out now because they can't hide it. You know, they can't hide it. They tried to hide it. They tried to lock up all that information from the Pfizer review for 75 years, and that was overturned by a judge. A lot of this is coming out because of lawsuits and these freedom of information requests that maybe they thought they could get away with. But people like Ben Shapiro, who has a tremendous audience and actually runs the Daily Wire, which is an information organization that's more focused on conservative views, he changed his tune. He was a staunch advocate for vaccination.
You bet he was. By the way, one minute left, by the way.
Yeah, got it. And he advocated it strongly, and he's woken up. He's like, oh my gosh, all the information, it looks like that the government, the media, and Big Pharma were all lying to us. And he has a tremendous voice.
Yeah.
We know that Joe Rogan, who has, you know, over daily 16 million listeners, he's saying the same thing. So you can't push back and put the lid on this genie as much as this administration is trying to do. And that's the unfortunate reality that we're having to wake up, that there was so much corruption involved here. And a lot of people are paying the price for it.
Well, let me ask you this, Jimmy. Can you imagine what it will do to the credibility of the Democratic Party if everything that we're talking about in our editorials and our radio program come true? Kind of need a real quick answer on this.
I think it's going to destroy the Democratic Party, but I think they're destroying themselves anyway with all this progressive agenda.
I think you got a good point, Jim. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. We'll be right back to wrap up KER Politics.